Morning, we continue our study of the parables of Jesus Christ. And so we are going to go to Luke 18, verse 1 through 8 this morning. So turn in your pew Bible today as we read from the Word of the Lord. And as you see, the title is The Unjust Judge and the Persistent Widow. We're going to look at her story today and the teaching for us in our own lives as well. And here's what the word of the Lord says. Then Jesus said to his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people or men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Who cry out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your home, in your house today, Lord, we ask for the presence of your Spirit. Lord, may you just use this message to teach, to instruct, to lead your people today. May your Spirit be upon them, and may their hearts, their minds, and their souls be open to your teaching and your ways. Lord, I also pray that these words are never my own but yours. And Lord, may you bless me with that same Spirit as I deliver your message today. In Jesus I pray, amen. During World War II, during the bombings of London, they were so intense at times that many people went underground and took shelter to remove themselves from the bombing of World War II. On a church in the middle of that town, there was a banner that read, "If your knees knock together, kneel on them." Makes good sense, doesn't it, in a time of war, a time of crisis. But let me also point out to you that in Luke 18, verse 1, there's a very similar verse that kind of goes along with this quote that I just read with you. Believers always ought to pray and never give up. It's the message from Jesus today. Jesus has just finished speaking to his disciples on the subject of the last days and telling them that he would return and that his return would come suddenly without any warning. Now, we get that. We wait patiently for the return of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we might even pray, "Lord, come today." Sometimes we're in situations in our life where we're just ready for this to be over with. We're ready for Christ to come. Jesus also said that the last days, the days before the Son of Man returns, would be like the days of Noah. That they would be difficult days. Days that would not be conducive to faith. You're not going to see it very prevalent in the world that you and I live in. We will probably see more evil than good as well in our lives. But yet, he still talks to his disciples about a life of faith in a world that is lacking faith. We live that same way today. That's the reason his words are so essential to us today, now, here in this place. We are living in a time when people's hearts are failing them due to fear. Fear. And so what we have in this parable is a vital passage on prayer in the times that we live in, the things that we will face as families, as individuals, as communities, as the church, as a whole, in the evil world that we're a part of. Notice that he says that he spoke a parable to them for this purpose, that believers should always pray and not give up. Jesus gives us two alternatives if you really look in this scripture this morning. To you and I, we have an alternative here of what we'll do. And we have to make a decision when things come at us in life of what that might look like. What will you do in those two decisions that you'll make in your life? And so in difficult times, you and I will either faint, give up, fear will take over, or we're going to pray. Those are your two options. Will you crumble in fear, or will you pray in faith? That's the question. And so either you will live in days of fear that this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and that's all you see and that's all you perceive, and you might not have any hope, or you will choose to live in days of faith. God is still seated on the throne in heaven. He still has control of this wicked and evil world when everything might be seeming to go into chaos. Fear or faith? That's the decision that you're faced with today as you live out your life. Kind of the nuts and bolts of this parable that we look at this morning. So let's go just a little bit deeper. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 2 and 3, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. Probably not a very nice person. He was anti-God. He was anti-people. We might see that in our government today. We might see that in things around us today, that we see a lot of anti-God in our society. And that's been going on for some time now. But this judge, he did whatever he pleased. He never asked himself, which I hope that you and I do in our life, what does God want me to do with these situations? How should I respond to certain situations? What does that look like in my life when things come at me? This judge never asked that question. Nor did he ever ask this question. What do the people want? What is best for the people that I deal with on a daily basis? How should I act or be in those situations? He never asked himself those questions. He was a judge without any love or justice. And there's something else you need to know about those days. They were corrupt. Often, the wealthy got their way. They would pay judges off to get what they wanted or to judge in a certain way that they needed it to fall in their favor. That was common in those days. And so the wealthy people kind of controlled society by paying off these judges. Now, these judges, if you've been with me for a while, and we go back and we do a little history lesson, they would sit at the city gate. And that's where the business would be conducted upon on a weekly basis. You know, Monday through Friday, the judge would always be by the gate, and there'd be a group of elders around there. And if you had a problem, you could go to the judge and get it worked out. Maybe you had a disagreement with your neighbor. Maybe you had a situation in your business and you didn't know how to handle it, and so you go to the judge to get those types of things worked out by the city gate. Well, this judge was anti-God and he was dishonest. He did not seek justice for people. Another aspect you need to realize is that women were greatly marginalized in this culture. How many women would it take to even equal the voice of one man? Anybody got a guess today? I've preached this before in my sermons to see if you remember. Anybody want to take a guess how many women would equal one man's voice in a situation, or especially in the court of law before a judge? Nope, not quite. Good guess. It took two. Yeah, it took two women to equal one man's voice. And so we're dealing with a widow here. She had no power. She had no control to be able to go to this judge and say, you must do something. The judge would constantly blow her off. Wouldn't listen to her case. Really didn't want nothing to do with her. You know, and if you look at the Greek word widow, it means that you are left empty. You have nothing. That was the Greek definition of the word widow in Scripture. And so this widow represented complete helplessness. For she had no money to bribe him. She didn't have the power as a woman to be able to overrule him and just to be able to get him to listen to what her needs were. So let me ask you this next question. Do you ever feel like that in the world we live in today? Helpless. Your voice is never heard. You don't always understand the situation you're in. Why did these things happen to my family? Do you ever have those kind of thoughts in your life? Life is hard. It's difficult. Most of the time, you will spend your time in the bottom of the valley where life is not easy. You might get to the mountaintop once in a while, but most of the time on this earth as a Christian, you're going to spend it in the valley. That's where you'll spend most of your life. How many of you notice injustices that take place in the world that we live in today? How many of you feel that once in a while Satan has control of this world and maybe the evilness that's in it and you see it or you're a part of it or you experience it in your own life? It can be a challenge to keep the faith on some of those days. It will be difficult for you, is what Scripture talks about. And so let me ask you another question. What does that kind of faith look like in daily life? If I'm going to stay persistent and I'm going to stay close to God, and what does that look like in my daily life? The widow gives us a great example. Faith is pressing on in prayer and not giving up until we receive God's answer. Did you see the little story of the rope this morning? You know, we don't have that rope literally, but we do have that rope, that lifeline to God in heaven. When we pray, He hears us. And I hope that you feel the tug back once in a while when He answers prayer in His time. This widow faced great opposition. Like I mentioned before, she's a woman, she's a widow. She went to the city gate that was filled not only with the judge, but also the elders of the town, men as well, who probably really didn't have a whole lot of respect for her. But she kept coming, day in and day out, day after day. She never gave up. She made herself a nuisance, and she demanded justice. Now, if you notice, you look at Luke 18, verse 4 and 5, something changes in the judge. Something happens. For some time, he refused. He didn't want to go there. He wouldn't listen to her. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to listen to her so I can get her off my back. That's what he says. He considered her a nuisance. But evidently the judge knew that the widow's claim was just. Otherwise he never would have took the time to hear her. Hold on to that thought as we go through this message this morning. She was not able to bribe him and had little influence over him. But finally her persistence toppled him. There's a lesson there for us this morning. Was he afraid of the widow? Was he afraid that maybe he maybe she would undermine his performance or undermine his work or maybe undermine the trust of the community in him as a judge? Could have that been a concern? What about the public perception that he really didn't care for people if this widow kept coming day after day after day? For some reason, we know that the widow's request was finally granted. And here's the whole point. We don't know what changed the judge. Well, we got an idea that God probably worked in his heart to soften him to some point, but we don't know why or what changed the judge to actually hear from this widow. And here's the point that I think we need to understand. It's not about the judge at this point. It's about the widow at this point, that she stayed persistent in her faith life and in her prayer life. She kept on in her life. And you need to do the same thing. You and I need to hang in there. You and I need to keep the faith even when life is stacked against us. Let me also share something with you this morning. See, we never want to get persuaded by our own feelings or thoughts. You have to be careful. Some people make emotional decisions. Those are the worst kind of decisions you'll ever make in your life. Your decisions should always be based off of the Word of God. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. Don't veer from that. Don't soften that and think, well, you know, I'm feeling like this probably isn't a good thing, or maybe I should do this in my life because that's how I'm feeling. You need to realize that the Word of God is the truth, and that speaks to you in those situations. And as soon as you leave that Word of God and you start thinking of your own understanding of how you're going to live life, it's going to be messy. Because you're sinful, I'm sinful. Our thoughts are tainted by the sin that we live in this world. We can't always make good decisions or the right decisions. And so when you see something in your life that's before you and it's tough and you don't know, how do I navigate these waters? Don't fall back on your own feelings or your own emotions. You listen to what the Word of the Lord says to you and you take that path. Always. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Could be devastating at times. You might not understand at times, but you need to trust God in those situations. Help is on the way. Let's dig a little deeper into this passage again. Luke 18, verses 6 and 7, if you have your Bible still open. And the Lord said, listen to what, so he's talking to his disciples here now, and he's telling them this story, and he goes, like, more or less like, notice, listen, he says, to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So we see a turn of events. We come from the unjust judge, and now we start to talk about the Father in heaven here. Right? There's something for us to learn here this morning. Many Bible teachers say that this parable teaches the value of persistent prayer, which it does, but there's something more here today that you need to realize. God is, so let me just say this, rephrase this. This is not a parable on the persistence of prayer, as though God will hear you if you hold on long enough, if you beg him. That's not what it's teaching us to do. Remember, a parable means that something is thrown beside something else to kind of help you explain it or teach you. Now, if I had a ruler or a yardstick, I could put it up against this table here, and I could say that it's 32 inches tall. That's a parable. You know how tall the table is because the yardstick is standing there. You can see that. See, a parable works in that way for your life and my life. And so let's unpack this just a little deeper this morning. There are two ways that Jesus did this in Scripture. He compared things, right? Or he contrasted things for you and I to understand. So our Lord is saying this to us this morning. When you come to the Lord in prayer, do you think that God is an unjust God? That's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. You just heard the story of the unjust judge who didn't care about God or care about people. He was crooked. He took money and so on and so on. And so now Jesus flips it on the disciples. Do you think that God is unjust? That's the question he presents to them and now to you and I this morning. When you come to him in prayer, do you think he's a cheap politician? He's going to do what he wants. Do you think God is doing things for political reasons or personal motives in your life? For his own gain? And if that's the way that you and I think, we are wrong. Because then we think that God is an unjust God in our lives. See, and that's the parable that Jesus is trying to teach us here today. Let's go a little deeper this morning. If this unjust judge would hear a poor widow because she kept coming continually, nagging on him, then why do you get discouraged going to God who is not an unjust judge, but who actually wants to hear and answer your prayer? Why do we get discouraged in our Christian lives in this world when God says, I want to hear your prayer and I want to answer your prayer. I am not an unjust judge. You do not have to hang on his coattail. You do not have to beg him for the things that you plead with him in your life. God wants to act on your behalf. He wants to. Now, if we would come to God with that kind of an attitude, that we know that when we call on God in prayer and he hears our prayer, that something's going to happen and we believe something's going to happen, what do you think that would do to your faith and the church that we live in today in this world? It would just explode. You would be in awe. Some of you experience that because you have that kind of prayer life in your life, that when you pray something, God will answer your prayer. Think back to when I talked to you about prayer here the last few weeks and how you need to pray and what that prayer should look like. And is it your will or God's will? Yeah, there's things that go on within that prayer that we need to understand as followers of Christ, because maybe your prayer for someone to be healed from cancer doesn't get answered, but God has a different plan that we need to understand, but we don't always know why. But that doesn't mean you and I quit praying. It doesn't mean that you and I kind of treat God as an unjust God in our lives because we don't think that our prayer is being answered correctly or maybe in the way we want it to be answered. God is not an unjust God. You need to understand. He loves you. He wants what's best for you in your life. How do I know that? Look what verse 18 says. First part, anytime you see me put an A behind the letter, like you see 18, verse 8A, that's the first half of the verse. A little bit you're going to see B, yeah, that's the second half of that verse. So here's what the first half says. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. We have a just God. He'll condemn sin. He will punish sin. He says that. He will deal with the people that come against us. He will work with them quickly. So let me just unpack this a little bit for you this morning. Jesus said that he will avenge them speedily. Boy, there's some days it doesn't seem very speedily in my life. How about you? Right? Sometimes we pray, Jesus, come today. This sucks. I don't like it. This is hard. Things that my family goes through or my children go through, and you get it. You're there right with me. But here's the idea. If this poor woman with no hope received help from a wicked, unscrupulous judge, how much sooner, how much greater will the help of a loving father give to his own dear children? That's what you need to hold on to. Do you ever feel in your daily life the weight of the world? The heaviness to keep your faith in a faithless world? Jesus says, hold on. Hold on. Keep the faith. God is just. He will avenge those who come against his people. The Lord will make things right in his time. Once the proper time has arrived, the Lord will move quickly. You might ask, how quickly will this take place? 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And all of us will be changed in the what? Twinkling of an eye. Blink your eyes for me this morning. Boom. Just like that, things will be dealt with and will be changed, and you'll be brought into the presence of heaven with your Father. That's how quickly it'll be dealt with. And we know where sinners will go. Those who are unrepentant and turn their back on God. That's how quickly vengeance will happen. the contrast between this unjust judge in this parable and God is so sharp, so far apart. Here comes the second half of that verse. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, why would Jesus throw that in there? Right on the end of this parable, he throws that one line dinger in there for us. You know, because the Bible also teaches that in the end, when the world might seem faithless and you hardly see the church anywhere anymore, there will still be a remnant of believers here when Jesus returns. We're promised that in Scripture. But the bottom line is this, that you and I should pray with confidence and never give up. Let me encourage you, in those tough times, you and I need to be persistent in prayer and keep the faith. Let me share a little story with you this morning. Do you see a picture of those two? Now, they look like deer, but they're actually an African. Let me look up what the name of them are. Impala. You know what's unique about this animal? They can be at a standstill, standing there, and they could clear a 10-foot fence. And if they're on a run, they can jump 10 foot high, and they can spread. How many of you ever long jump in here? Anybody ever do the long jump in here? Nobody did the long jump in here? All right, so if this animal was to do the long jump, it could clear 10 foot high fence, 30 foot of range. It's huge, isn't it? But guess what? If you put them in a zoo, the fence that they put around them only needs to be 3 foot tall. You think, why would that be? And here's why. The African impala, if it cannot see where it's going to land with its feet, it will not jump. It doesn't trust itself. Now think about that for a moment. Faith is the ability to trust what you and I cannot see. That's faith. Keep praying. And all of God's people said,